We do give to everyone this morning a warm word of welcome on this lovely Lord's Day morning to the house of God. We're glad to see you. Glad to see you made it out. And we do trust that the Lord will bless us as we meet around the word of God today. We give a special welcome to our preacher, Mr. Raymond Morrow. He's a final year student, or he's completed or completing. I don't know what work he's still to do. But he is a final year student in the ministry of the Whitfield College. We do welcome him. We trust that he'll know the blessing of God upon him today as he brings the word of God to us. He'll be the preacher tonight in the drive-in service at 7 p.m. And we do give you a welcome, an invitation to join with us in the gospel service this evening. On that occasion, Mr. Tommy Gilmore, an elder in our own in the congregation down in Martyrs, will be the soloist, and he'll bring messages in song. Do remember this afternoon between 2 and 3 o'clock, a time of prayer in our own homes, remembering the work, remembering the need, remembering the situation in our own province. The gates will open at 6:30 tonight for the cars to be admitted to the car park for the evening service. Then on Wednesday night at 8 p.m, the Bible study and prayer meeting here in the church. If you haven't been able to get out so far, we do extend to you that welcome. Come and meet with us from 8 o'clock to 8:45 on Wednesday evening for that time around the world in the season of prayer together. Then next Lord's Day, the preacher at both services is Mr. Andrew Murray, the assistant here to our own minister. And do remember that meeting, please, during the week, 8 o'clock on Wednesday evening. Do remember the services as well. Next Lord's Day, Mr. Andrew Murray will be back morning and evening to bring the word of God next Lord's Day. As some of you know, Mr. Smiley is on holiday for the month of August, and so in emergency Mr. Andrew Murray would be contacted if something crops up, and the Reverend Nathan McVeigh is also on standby for other needs. If you don't know those numbers, then do contact one of the elders, one of the committee men, and we'll be able to get you in touch with these brethren. Then just finally, I know maybe perhaps it sounds repetitive, but there are announcements that need to be made. Remember that within the congregation, within the church building, that social distancing of 2 metres. Then as you leave, the people in the front 2 rows, if they exit these doors to the side, both on the side and the middle, the people on the side galleries, if they also use those doors, and then the back 2 rows downstairs and in the back rows in the gallery, leave by the door which you did come in. That would be appreciated. No offerings are lifted during the meeting, and the basket will be at the door as you leave this afternoon. And no pre-church prayer meetings are being held just at the moment. So we do appreciate your help in all of these matters. As I say, it's good to see you. I'm just going to hand the rest of the meeting over to your brother Raymond. We give him a warm welcome. We do trust that he'll feel at home in the service today. I'll know the help of God, and we will enjoy the blessing through the preaching of the word to your own hearts today. Thank you very much.
To thank our brother for those words of welcome. It's good to be along with you in Ballygowan and to fellowship once again with you. It's good to see each one gathered out in the house of God this morning. Could I encourage you, as our brother has already done, to come along this evening for the gospel drive-in service, and bring your friends, bring family if you can. Encourage as many to come even to the open-air preaching of the gospel. It's a great opportunity. People sometimes are reluctant to come into a church. Well, we're glad to say that across our provinces, these open-air drive-in churches have been held. We've seen many, many people that would not normally come in even come into the car park and listen to the gospel message. So please encourage those around you to come in and pray for the message of the gospel as it will go forth this evening. Pray that we may know the Lord's help and blessing even as we seek to proclaim the gospel. We're going to begin our service by opening in prayer. Ask the Lord for his help, his undertaking, even as we come this morning to worship him. Let's pray. Dear Lord and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee again, Lord, for another privilege to come and to gather together in thy presence. Lord, we thank thee for the open door in this corner of thy vineyard. And yet, Lord, we know that there are many restrictions. Lord, we know that there are those who cannot attend. But Lord, we thank thee that through the internet and even through the lifting of these restrictions somewhat, that we can come and we can meet together with our God and our Lord in a fashion such as this. Lord, we thank thee this morning for the privilege, the access that we have to come into the very presence of God in and through the finished work of Christ, our Saviour and our Lord. We thank thee for the one who left the splendour of heaven and went willingly to Calvary's cross, there to shed his precious blood. But praise God, he rose victorious o'er the grave and is now seated at the Father's right hand. And Lord, it is through that finished work that we come this morning. It is in the name of Christ that we come and we bring our prayers and petitions before thee. Lord, our praise is very different this morning in the sense that we are not able to lift up our voices to thee in praise. But Lord, we can lift our voices in prayer. And so Lord, we pray that as we are gathered together, Lord, that thou wouldst come amongst us. Lord, we need thy presence. We need thy help. Lord, if we have not thee in this place, then we meet in vain. And to that end, blessed Holy Spirit, we pray that thou wouldst come and tabernacle amongst us. That thou wouldst come and move from seat to seat, from heart to heart. Lord, that thou wouldst speak to each one gathered in. Lord, we pray for each one for the individual needs. And Lord, we pray especially this morning for those with the greatest of all needs, the need of salvation. Lord, we pray that as thy word goes forth in this place, Lord, that thou would speak to any that are still outside of Christ. And Lord, that thou wouldst tenderly draw them to thyself. Lord, that they would see Christ high and lifted up, the one who shed his precious blood that they may be saved. Lord, we thank thee the message of the gospel is still the same, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, we pray to that end that thou wouldst move amongst us. Lord, we pray for those perhaps cold of heart. Lord, perhaps in bypath meadow. Yea, Lord, once they walked well, but the things of life have crept in. They're not as near to thee as they once were. Lord, we pray this morning that you would restore unto them the joy of thy so great salvation. Lord, we pray for every child of God. Lord, you know our needs. You know our struggles, our difficulties. You know what we're going through. And Lord, we pray that thou wouldst minister to us this morning in this place. Lord, to preacher and hearer alike, we need thy undertaking. We need thy help. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst speak to us. And Lord, whether it would be a word of encouragement, rebuke, or whatever the need may be. Lord, we pray that, like those Greeks of old, that our desire would be to see Jesus. Lord, come and move amongst us. Lord, we do pray for those that are unwell at this time. Lord, associated with this congregation, and yea, Lord, with our denomination, we pray that thou wouldst put thy hand upon them. Lord, that thou wouldst raise them up to full health and strength again. Lord, we realize this virus is still out and about, as it were. Lord, we pray that thy protecting hand would be upon us. Lord, that we would be wise in these days and that thou wouldst watch over us. Lord, we do pray that we would know thy help. Lord, we pray this day for the preaching of thy word across the length and breadth of our land. And yea, Lord, further afield. Lord, we thank thee that thou hast promised that thy word will not return unto thee void. And Lord, we claim that promise this morning here in Ballygowan. And Lord, we claim it for each place where thy word will be faithfully preached this day. Lord, we think of those small works on the mainland. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst undertake there. Lord, where there's only two and three in some places gathered together. O Lord, we pray that thou wouldst bless. O Lord, we think of the many vacant works. And again, Lord, we pray that thou would raise up men
that would fill these places. Lord, that would be under shepherds to those flocks. Lord, we thank Thee even for the work of the college this morning. We thank Thee for the number of students that are coming in to the college, God willing, in September. Lord, we pray that in the days that lie ahead, that we would see those numbers grow and grow. Lord, that men would be sent forth across this land and further afield. Lord, that Thy name would be glorified even in the preaching of Thy word. So, Lord, we pray now that Thou wouldst continue on with us. Bless us as we wait on in Thy presence. Lord, as we come around Thy word, Lord, we pray that Thou wouldst give help, undertake for us. And Lord, we will be careful to give Thee all the praise and the glory and honour that is due Thy name alone. For it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen and amen. Boys and girls, this morning as we come into God's house and come to church, I have something in my hand which some of you may not know what it is, but have seen it maybe being used. Maybe some of the older ones would be very happy to have one of these in their hands. Some of the young people. Perhaps even if I said, now, whoever's first to the door, if we were in a normal situation, can have this, then some of you might be rushing to get to the door, old and young alike. I wonder, do you know what it is? I'll give you a clue. I carry it in my hip pocket. It's a little bit of plastic in a rectangular shape. Probably most adults here have it. For some it may be more valuable than others. But it's very, very handy to have at times. What have I? I have this wee thing here. It's a wee credit card. And it's very handy for if we go into the shop to do a bit of shopping. And I know there's a lot of shops that you go into at the moment and they're not that happy about taking cash. And so you can take this wee card out of your pocket and you can tap it onto the wee machine and you can take your groceries and away on you go. Isn't it very handy indeed? But, boys and girls, it's just not that simple. I know a wee fella one day was looking something and his parents told him it was very expensive. And he says, "It's all right, Daddy." He says, "Just you use that wee plastic thing that you have and it'll be okay and we can get it." But it's not just that simple, boys and girls. You know, for this wee card to work, there has to be a wee bit of something behind it. There has to be a wee bit of money behind it in the bank. Can you imagine the embarrassment of mummy or daddy or granny and grandad, and they go to that wee machine and they put the card on it and it gives a wee beep. And the lady behind the counter says, "I'm sorry, it's insufficient funds." Insufficient funds. There's nothing there in the bank to cover what you want to put on this wee card. There's insufficient funds. Oh, how embarrassing that would be. Well, you know, maybe the mummy or daddy would say, well, I know there's plenty of money in the account. That's good enough. I know there's lots of money in the account. Or maybe they might say, your machine must be faulty, because my card's definitely working. I wonder. But, you know, there are people in this life, and they think that God is like that. They think that one day when they get to heaven, or they hope to get to heaven, that they'll stand before God and they'll, as it were, tap their wee credit card and say, "I want in. I want into heaven. Oh, what are the funds behind this wee card? Oh, well, you know, I've been a good person. And I have done my best to keep the commandments. And I go to church every Sunday. And you know, I do good things for people. I be nice to people. I help my parents. And I live a good life." And they have in their own mind banked up their own money, their own good works. And they think that that is sufficient enough to get them into heaven. Boys and girls, mums and dads and grannies and grandas work and they put their money into the bank and it makes these wee cards work. But you know, that is not how it works with the Lord. There is only one way to get to heaven. I'm sure you all know the course. One way God said to get to heaven. Jesus is the only way. Boys and girls, the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for men and women, for mums and dads, for grannies and grandads, aunts and uncles, and for boys and girls. God demands that our sin must be paid for. That means all the wrong things, all the bad things we do, it must be paid for. And if we worked all of our days and lived the best we could, then we could never pay the price of our sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ came, and He was that perfect sacrifice. He lived the perfect, spotless life. He never done anything wrong. And He went to Calvary's cross, and there He bled and died, that if we only trust in Him, then our sins will be forgiven, and one day we shall go to be in heaven. You know, for example, if Mum and Dad went and tapped this wee card in the shop and it didn't work, oh, there would be a lot of embarrassment. But that's all there would be embarrassment. There would be no grave consequences. But boys and girls, if you're trusting to go to heaven on your own good works, then there will be a lot more than embarrassment. For God will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." But imagine the card doesn't work, and there's all that embarrassment with Mum and Dad. And suddenly this voice behind says, "It's okay, dear. It's okay, sir. Don't you worry, I'll get it." And you turn around, and there's the richest man in Ballygowan. And he's standing, and he has his card in his hand. And the £24 is on the till, you say, "Oh, isn't that great?" You wouldn't argue with him, would you? You wouldn't say, "No, my card's better than your card." No, you would accept his gift. You would accept his gift. And the Lord Jesus Christ died, and all we have to do is accept him as the only way of salvation, and he will take away our sins. Boys and girls, I wonder this morning, are you prepared to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid the price for your sin and my sin when he died on Calvary's cross? You don't need to work up your own merit. Simply trust in Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need." And if you're not saved, that is your need of salvation. That is your greatest need. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And all you have to do is trust him. Amen. Could you turn with me, please, in God's Word to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, we're beginning at the first verse, and we'll read the whole passage, please. Philippians 4. Paul has encouraged the Philippian believers in the previous chapters to rejoice in the Lord, to stand firm in the faith even amidst trial and persecution, and to press towards the mark even as he is longing to do. And we come to verse 1 of Philippians 4, and the Word of God says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which laboured with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow labourers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care for me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And amen. We do know that the Lord will bless the public reading of his own inerrant word. Let's just ask the Lord for his help even as we come to study his word this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we thank thee even for the privilege to open the scriptures. Lord, to read thy word in our own mother tongue. Lord, we thank thee that thy word is a light for us in the darkness of this world. Lord, we thank thee that thy word will show us the way that we ought to go. Lord, we pray that even this morning that thou would show us through thy word what thou wouldst have us to do for thee. Lord, how we should live for thee. Lord, how we should rejoice in thy so great salvation. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst encourage us even this morning. Blessed Holy Spirit, come and move amongst us. For it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Many in our society today are looking for a get-rich-quick plan. I'm sure we're all aware of that. And rather than all their needs being met, they seek for all their greeds to be met. Is this not what motivates so many in our society to go out and purchase lottery tickets? To get involved in different schemes that they may see or hear of on the internet, pyramid sales schemes, so on and so forth. They seek to get rich with very little work. And it would be great to an extent if that was the case. But there are dangers in wealth, I'm sure, as we all know. We can look perhaps to those around us, maybe over the years that we have seen the business flourish up and fly and blossom so quickly, and spending seems to have gone to a man's head because of his great wealth that he has accumulated, and all of a sudden all is gone. As we read God's word, we see that the only way to true happiness is through scripture, is through trusting in Christ. It's not found in worldly wisdom, it's not found in financial gain. Solomon was a prime example of one man who, during his life, and especially in his later life, sought to find happiness outside of true faith and trust in God. We could look back to when Solomon came before the Lord. The Lord asked Solomon what he wanted, what his heart's desire was, and he asked for wisdom. And yet we see, if we read his account, that in later life that wisdom seemed to go out of the window, as it were. And he began to build and accumulate things of his own making. In Ecclesiastes we see his searching for happiness, for pleasure. We can read how he built great houses and he planted gardens and orchards. He had hired servants. He had much livestock. He accumulated silver and gold and all sorts of treasure. And there were those who travelled from far and wide to see Solomon's great wealth. And yet, he had to declare that all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and that there was no profit under the sun in all these things. Oh, they may provide pleasure for a time, but there is no profit under the sun in these things. How different was the experience from that of Job, probably the wealthiest man of his day. And yet, with all his riches, he knew that true contentment was only found in the Lord. And in the midst of his wealth, he sought continually to pray for his children, that even as they enjoyed the pleasures that his wealth had accumulated for them, that they would not sin before the Lord. And then calamity struck, his wife and his friends turning against him, and we know of how much Job lost. Yet he blesses the name of the Lord. Friends, this morning, believer, are we not blessed through Christ our Saviour? I wonder this morning, as we got up, as we opened our eyes, do we thank the Lord for his goodness, his mercy, and his love towards us? Oh, we ought to praise him moment by moment for each and everything he has given us, and yet how quick we are to complain. With all this in view, we come to what I want to take as our text this morning. We've already alluded to it in the children's message, and that is of verse 19 of Philippians chapter 4. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, there are those in our society, and there are those even in the pulpit, and they will get up and they will take this verse and they will claim it, as it were, as a blank check to have God supply everything which they desire, whether that be financial, material or physical. But the verse must be taken in context, in the context of what Paul has been speaking of. And it must be noted that this is not an open invitation to all to come and demand this, that and everything else of God to supply their needs and their greeds. No, this text, this verse is written by Paul to the believers. In this fourth chapter, Paul encourages the believers to rejoice in the Lord. He encourages them not to worry about the things that are going on round about them. Back in the first chapter, we see how he writes from prison and how he tells them of sufferings. But he tells them to stand firm in the faith. And even at the beginning of this verse, or this chapter in verse 1, he says, "So stand fast in the Lord, dearly beloved." He encourages them to bring all their issues before the Lord with prayer and supplication, and there they will find peace in that communion with their Saviour. In verse 10 and verse 18, he speaks of how these believers have cared for him and how the Lord strengthened them through their supply and through their mindful consideration of him, their love in Christ for him. With all this in mind, he encourages them that through their faithfulness in all things, the Lord shall supply their needs. And I want to consider for a few moments this morning, are every need met? Are every need met? And how can we apply this text and take encouragement from the apostles' exhortation to these believers? Well, let us consider the supplier of all our needs. Paul clearly states at the beginning of this verse that it is God who supplies these needs. Not a God, but the God, the true and living God. The apostle does not worship some God made of men's hands like the heathen, nor does he worship at the altar of the unknown God as those did in the city of Athens in his day. Rather, he recognizes that only he is the creator, ruler and sustainer of all things. He is the eternal, invisible, the only wise God. He is the one who hung the stars and turns the darkness into light. And not only in the skies, but in the heart of the sinner. For he can turn the darkness of sin in our hearts into the glorious light of the gospel as we're brought to Christ. He controls the seasons. He directs the winds. He is the one who controls the affairs of men and moves the hands of earthly rulers for his eternal purpose and glory. Oh yes, the God of whom Paul speaks rules over all things. His love has no measure. His grace has no limit. His power is supreme. His wisdom is unbounded. And praise his name. His provisions are never exhausted, my friend. His provisions are never exhausted. No matter what situation you find yourself in, God will provide your need. We thought with the children about the card. And sometimes we can go and we can take the envelope comes through the door and we open the statement. And maybe the bottom line looks very grim. And we wonder where our needs will be met. We wonder how perhaps we are going to get through the week that lies ahead. Or a bill comes through the door and we say, how on earth am I going to manage this one? My friend, we need to take everything to God in prayer. For he will supply our needs. And yet we see that it is he, the great God, who Paul calls my God. I wonder, friend, this morning, can you say with Paul that he is my God? Praise God, I can say he is my God. There is no greater thing in this life, in this world, to be able to say, my God. I wonder, do you know him as your God? This my is a result of Paul's relationship with Christ. It is not the fact that God is the Father of everyone through creation, but this my is a result of the salvation of the soul. Not by good works, not by any effort or anything on Paul's account. If we were to read Paul's testimony, we see how zealous he was in his, as a Pharisee, as persecuting the church. And yet he had to come to Christ and accept him as Lord and Saviour. Paul, speaking to those in Athens in Acts 17:27, exhorts the unbelievers that they should seek the Lord if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. And saved and unsaved friends this morning, the Lord is not far from us. For those of us that are trusting in him, he is with us every step, every minute of the day. Friend, unsaved friend, if you call upon his name, he is not far. He is not far from you, and he will hear your cry. Is this God known to you? Have you sought after him? He has shown himself in love towards his fallen and disobedient creation. In our sin we have turned away the desire of our hearts, being evil continually. You may say, preacher, I'm not evil. I live a good upright life. I'm better than the person down the road. And even they say they're a Christian. Well, we may not be evil in our own reckoning as we see others. But those, perhaps as those who have carried out some gross sin, but if we reject God's offer of grace, if we reject the gift he has given of us as of his only begotten Son, then we are evil, we have rejected him. And yet God loved us with an everlasting love. No wonder the apostle wrote to the church at Philippi, expressing his desire, at Ephesus, expressing the desire that they might know the love of Christ which passeth all knowledge, and be conscious of the fact that he is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. But Paul has known time and again that personal experience of his God protecting him, sustaining him, even through many trials and difficulties. And he can testify to the fact that he is the God who cares for his children with a tender love and compassion, that his mercies are new every morning and his faithfulness is great. He is the one, the only one, who can supply and has supplied all his needs. I wonder, as we worship him today, can you say that God has supplied all your needs? Oh, he can supply all your needs, my friend, saved and unsaved. Believer, how often do we try to go on our own? How often do we try to face the difficulties on our own? Until we come to the point where we have to turn around and say, hold on a minute now, I need to come before the Lord. Friend, whatever your situation is this morning, the Lord can supply all your needs. He is the supplier of all our needs, but let us also see the storehouse from which all our needs are supplied. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. No matter how big our need may be, we can never exhaust the riches in the storehouse of our God. Solomon, as we noted, was the greatest of all men when it came to riches. But how soon those riches disappeared in the years that followed his death. We can consider those who have been millionaires either through business, inheritance, or lottery winning, yet, as we mentioned at the beginning, have lost everything overnight. Stock markets fail, economies crash, world's banks have collapsed, and in an instant all their wealth has gone. In no time at all, their earthly needs were no longer met. But praise God, the storehouse of the Lord will never fail. The deepest mines of all the nations with their wealth untold will one day run dry. One day those mines will run out of earthly wealth. But God's riches will never fail. It does so little to our God to supply your need, and yet he will never make little of it. One commentator writing on these words noted that he had received a check from a certain businessman. On the bottom, just above the signature line, he noted the words, number two account. In his consideration of this, he comments that God has, as it were, many accounts, all of which we can draw from. There is the account of his riches in goodness. We read of that as Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 2 and verse 4. For there he speaks of the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering. There is the account of his riches in wisdom. Again, Romans 11 and 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. There is the account of his riches and grace. Ephesians 1 and 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. There is the account of his riches and glory. Ephesians 1:18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Believer, you may only have one earthly account with the bank, but we have access to each and every account of the storehouse of God. No matter what our needs is, it can be met out of his abundant supply. It is unfathomable, the depths of it. unimaginable to us, for there is no bottom, there is no walls or boundaries to the vastness of our God's storehouse.
I considered it like this. I remember a few years back when my son was only 4 or 5, and he had no understanding of the value of money, and only that it buys things. I'm sure those of us with children or grandchildren, nieces and nephews, we can all relate to this. And I could give him a few pennies, 5 pence or 10 pence, a few wee pieces, and he had them in his hand, a number of shiny coins. And to in his mind, he could buy anything he wanted. It was money. It was wealth untold in that child's eyes. And yet, on the scale of a normal weekly salary, it was so insignificant. Yet, if we took even on an annual salary, what was it? It was nothing. It was absolutely nothing. It was only pocket change. But the possibilities were endless in his mind. And then his faith, which he placed in those coins, he could do anything he wanted. Friends, this morning, our faith in the riches of Christ need to be in a childlike faith. They need to be in a childlike faith. For as those couple of coins were nothing on the grand scale of things, yet they were everything to that young child. And so it should be with us believers. We can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth us. Where, no matter what the situation may be, the Lord will supply the need. No matter what the difficulty is, the Lord will supply the need. His storehouse is vast. It is never ending. I also want to notice where these riches are. They are in glory, my friend. They are in glory. They are in the royal bank of heaven. And what a bank that is. Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. Where neither thieves break in nor steal. And these riches are, notice, according to his riches. Not out of his riches. Not off the top of his riches. But according to his riches. God's supply is not according to what we deserve, friends. But according to his mercy. Not according to our emptiness, but according to his fullness. Not out of debt, but out of grace. Not according to our poverty, but according to his wealth. Not out of, but rather according to his good pleasure. His good pleasure that none of us deserve, but that we have received through Christ. What's the difference, you may ask? A millionaire may give a beggar a pound out of his riches, but it is an insignificant gift of no real effect on his wealth. But the Lord gives according to his riches, after the measure of his riches. Oh, how good the Lord is to us. Oh, how good the Lord is to us when we consider his mercy and his grace even to be found in the house of God this morning. God's storehouse is not closed because of COVID, friends. It's not working reduced hours. God's storehouse is open. And believer, we have access today. Will you not cast your care upon him today? And with that childlike faith, rest on the promise that he is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think. Finally, we must ask the question, how do we access the storehouse, this vast storehouse of our God? It is only by Christ Jesus. It is only by Christ Jesus.
But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It is only through that finished work of our Saviour on Calvary's cross, by his perfect death, the just demands of the law being met, by his resurrection, his victory over the grave, by his intercession before the Father, that we have access to these riches. Oh, many today will cry to claim the promise of this scripture. Having never come to saving faith, have never asked in Christ to forgive them of their sins, they seek to draw down on the value of this verse for their own personal needs. They come to God, as it were, with this check in their hand, and they wave it before him in a time of trouble. But friends, it's of no use. Unbelieving friend, it's of no use to you. It's of no use to you. Why is it of no use? Well, a check is only of any use if there's a signature across the bottom. A check without a signature is worthless. It cannot be cashed. And it is only as we come to the storehouse of God this morning, in the name of Jesus Christ, that we have access to the vast supply. It is only by his atoning work that we have acceptance before our Heavenly Father. It's not by our own efforts or good works. For the believers of Philippi, it was not that they had been good to Paul as such, but rather because of what Christ had done for them, they were new creatures in Christ. They showed forth their love for Christ by their love to their brother Paul. By the preaching of this man, God had led them by the power of the Holy Spirit to come to realize that they were lost and without hope. But now they are redeemed, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. They acknowledge the sacrifice of Christ for them, and no sacrifice was too great for their Saviour. How often we may examine the cost of our giving to some particular aspect of the Lord's work, and we may reckon it will cost too much. It may be so even with our tithe. Oh, if I were to give that to the Lord's work, well then I wouldn't be able to make ends meet this week. Friends, ought we not to stop and consider that Christ had to die for our sin? We were on a straight road, downhill and gaining speed towards the lost sinner's hell. Believer, your greatest need has been met, and my greatest need has been met. There is no greater need than our salvation. And surely for the Lord to meet any other need than that, oh, it's nothing in comparison. With all this in mind, we consider that the promise that God shall supply all our need presupposes obedience. To claim the fulfillment of the promise without giving obedience to God is, dare I say, presumptuous. Friends, it shows lack of faith. The Philippians were obedient. They were obedient to the gospel. They were obedient to the demands of love for the apostle. They were obedient in their obligation to God's servant. And because of their obedience to the apostle, he can say categorically to them, I realize that in your poverty you gave, and that you are reduced to want, but my God shall supply your needs. And because they rose out of obedience. Friends, today it's foolish to think that we can squander what God has given us on ourselves and expect him to step in then and meet our needs when the going gets tight. Friends, we need to trust in the Lord. We need to obey him. We need to serve him. And then we will know the joy of that close communion as friend with friend. We will know our every need's met. Sad to say, many people look for their needs supplied, but there is no sacrifice and there is no supplication.
unbeliever this morning as we close, you may also expect to receive something from God. In your selfishness, your ignorance, your blatant rejection of the offer of salvation, the Lord will bring to every unrepentant sinner what they deserve. My friend, that is to be ushered out into a lost sinner's hell. That is the reality of the truth of the gospel. John 3:16-18. I'm sure many of us can quote these words off by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. For God sent his Son not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Praise his name. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath believed not in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Dear unsaved friend, God has been gracious to you this morning. He has given you what you don't deserve. He has given you the strength to be in God's house or to be able to watch this service online. That is out of his goodness. He has given you another opportunity to hear the word of God proclaimed. My friend, this morning, stop trying to seek your own happiness. Stop trying to solve your own problems. Stop trying to accumulate your own wealth, which one day you'll turn around and say, God, I have done this, that and the other. For you'll not. No, you'll not. Friend, repent of your sin. Trust Christ alone for salvation. And then you will know the joy of your greatest need ever met. You will have the assurance of sins forgiven, the promises of his words, and eternity with him in glory. Will you not come today to the one who can meet your every need? Not just today, but for every day. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Dear Lord and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word to us this morning. Lord, we thank thee for the challenge of it, both to us as believers and to each unsaved that's listening in. Lord, we pray that we may avail of the storehouse of our God through the work of Christ on Calvary. Lord, we thank thee and praise thee. Lord, we pray that even in the rest of this day, our lips will be continually filled with praise as we enjoy the good things that thou hast provided. But Lord, above all else, we pray that you would meet each unsaved person at the point of their need. Lord, we pray that they would realize that without Christ, they are on the path to a lost sinner's eternity. And not a ransom can buy them back. Continue on with us, we pray, for in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.